We are live.
Yes, we are. And we are doing peeling potatoes number 25. And I had the, I wouldn't call it an opportunity. Let's say I was obligated to choose the topic for today.
You were obligated.
Obligated.
You were obligated, you know.
Or it was just thrown at me friendly to say, you do it.
Well, that's because I have infinite trust in what you're in your capabilities, and that I know that if
Yeah.
I throw a curveball at you, it'll probably come back and hit me square in the face. And secondly, it'll be a fantastic experience, and you'll do it ever so nicely, you know.
Yes, with a smile on my face
Yeah,
and kindness in my heart.
the charm that is only your charm, yeah, your unique charm. Okay, so so ladies and gentlemen, I'm the victim in this, not the I think, I don't know. So.
You'll survive. It's not that
So in
bad.
our skills month, this is survival skills, you know.
Yes. So our survival skills, but we are going to have a little bit of a generational war. So Fruit Loop versus the mayor. It is playful, it is chaotic. Your answer might be better than mine. Mine might be better than yours. So we are going to do five rounds of questions. Each round has five questions. I will keep track of the count, so which question wins, which generation wins which question.
There'll be no bias because you're keeping the points. You're the scorer and the questioner. This is totally
Yes.
unbiased,
No,
isn't
I will be
it?
completely honest, and everything is recorded. So if you disagree, you can go back to say, well, you said this.
Fair enough.
Okay. So do you think you're ready? Can you handle this?
I can handle anything that comes from you.
Okay. That's good news. Okay. So our first round is about tech battles, like technology battles. I just see your raised eyebrows.
I'm very curious to see what's coming.
Okay, so let me ask the first question to break the ice. So, who had it harder, waiting for a dial-up internet connection or surviving when Wi-Fi drops for 5 minutes?
Well, since I know both,
Yes. I also know both, actually.
are you that old?
Yes, I'm that old.
Sorry,
That
I didn't
sound
exist.
while you are
Yes.
waiting for it to connect.
Yes. 14.4 MBS, I think it was, or something like that. It took forever. I think in this day and age of high speed and instant gratification, if the Wi-Fi drops out for 5 minutes, it's almost like the end of the world. Especially when we do so much online now.
Yes.
How can you not be connected? I mean, this is, you know, one of the first questions people ask whenever they go somewhere new. Can I have your Wi-Fi code? Because
Yes.
forbid,
Do you have Wi-Fi?
I might actually miss something in the last nanosecond of my life. So, yes, 5 minutes without Wi-Fi, it's the end of the planet. It's the end of life as we know it. I mean, I just cannot cope. It's no.
Okay. Okay. So I think the Fruit Loop wins that one because I agree. But I think it depends on, like, there's a lot of things that come into play. So I think it depends on how, maybe what your work is. We work mostly online. If you don't have a connection, you can't work.
I
Whether
hang on.
it's,
I beg to differ. Remember the
I
remember
know we did.
we work. It was one
We
of the best
pushed through
episodes. It was one of the because your Wi-Fi just didn't want to go anywhere.
Nope.
Yeah. And it was a master class in improvisation. It was
Yes.
brilliant. Yeah. So okay.
Yes.
Do I get a point for
Yes. Okay.
that?
Okay. So let's say, let me just mark it here. Fruit Loops generation wins on this one. 5 minutes without Wi-Fi is the worst.
Hang on. I gave the answer and you get the point. I don't understand.
Okay. So because we have generational wars. So your generation started with dial-up internet many years ago when
well,
I was five or six years old.
Well, I couldn't help that. It wasn't my problem.
Exactly. And yeah. Now we have Wi-Fi. So which one is worse, the dial-up or the Wi-Fi dropping? So really? You agreed to the Wi-Fi dropping, and that's Fruit Loop generation.
Oh, I see. Okay. So I have to answer counterintuitive. Okay. All right. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So the second question, number two, says, the mayor had phone books. Fruit Loop has Google. Who's actually smarter? I also know phone books, by the way. We used to fold them into houses.
Phone books are actually, I just have to think of one of my favorite movies, The Intern, you know, where the chap is, you know, used to be a phone book salesman, used to get them printed in the corner there. Well, I'm sorry to say, but I think phone books are smarter.
Okay.
For multitude of reasons. So first of all, you have everything condensed into one compact document.
The name, the address, telephone number.
Exactly.
For everyone in the town or in the city.
At least, excuse me, who was opted to be in the phone book because you didn't have to be in, at least in my time. So you have all the information stored. It's alphabetical, so you actually all you need to know is the sequence of letters in the alphabet.
Yes.
Couple expecting a child could refer to the phone book and say, you know, looking for a name.
Eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Then could
John
have,
Smith.
Yeah, they could have humongous arguments about, well, actually, I like Abigail more than Anna or something like that. So there's an endless source of discussion. You could become creative and randomly choose a name and say, well, so this and this. I wonder what that person looks like. I wonder what their life is like. Well, maybe I can give them a ring and say, hello, I was thinking about you. We have never met. Would you like to tell me the story of your life? And then anything.
Sounds like a terrible prank call.
Well, it could, you know, a romance could blossom out of this. It could be, a free dating service. You know, you look for a name. Oh, I like that name. I wonder who that person is. And then, of course, you say, well, you know, my name is so-and-so. And could I speak with you? And first, you've got to sort of like in the first question or in the first comment, without revealing the intent of your call, you know, is that person single? And is this legit to say, you know, well, I would like to date you and maybe marry you and have kids with you and stuff like that. But if you're already taken, then, well, I'm sorry for disturbing you. So there is that possibility. Needless to say that once you've got past, you know, finding your future partner in the phone book, you've hooked up, you've married, you've got everything, and then you come the first domestic dispute. So you've got the phone book to hurl at your partner because they have done something that completely irritates them, or irritates you. So I'm sorry, the phone book wins sky high because you can't do that. You know, if you want to throw Google at your partner because they have done something, you're going to have to throw your laptop or your computer
desktop.
Or your phone. Or
imagine
your desktop.
Those old box ones.
Exactly. And that is a little more expensive because the phone book is given to you free, gratis, and for nothing because it's financed. If you've got yellow pages in there, it's financed through the advertising.
Yes.
And I still remember I was in the Yellow Pages many years ago with my language school, and it was like a source of, look at me, I made it. It was like a confirmation, an affirmation of my success. I was in the Yellow Pages, the language workshop, Mannheim, Germany. It was in the Yellow Pages. Cost me a fortune. Didn't bring me any extra business, but I was there. There you go.
Okay.
Phone books win.
Well, I think Facebook can do you one better. You can choose the person's face and name, and it shows you whether they are single or married.
Not in my experience.
But I know you'd like a conversation, so maybe calling someone. But I had I listened to a very interesting conversation on the radio yesterday where the man, his kids are in university at the moment, so a little bit younger than I am. And they don't like to make phone calls. if you phone them, they don't pick up the phone. Whether it's a WhatsApp call, normal call, they don't pick up the phone. But then they will send you a message 5 minutes late or 2 minutes late. Okay, but
I do the same because cold calling is allowed here to private individuals, allowed here in France. And there are certain numbers where you know it's a number that is someone trying to sell you something, to sort of siphon them off. But you know, I will then block those numbers. But if there's a number that I don't actually know, then I also let them. You know, if they want something, they'll leave a message, and then I will call back. Yeah, it doesn't cost anybody anything.
Yes.
Yeah. So I know where he's coming from.
Yes.
Okay.
So I had a lot of fun with phone books. Like I mentioned, the prank calling, we did that. Mm-hmm. my friend, we didn't have a telephone at home, but my friend had one. So whenever when we were bored on a Friday night or maybe a Saturday night, we would grab the phone book, search a number, and call them. But it would be prank calls. So that was a little bit naughty, but we had fun. And then we folded them into houses.
And then you folded them into houses, yeah. Yeah, okay. And of course, the thing comes back 1 year later, yeah, and you start looking, you know, is that person still there? Is that, well, what happened? Yeah. Maybe I'll call him. Well, he's no longer there, yeah. Yes. I'm sorry, sir or madam, I noticed that you were no longer in this year's phone book. Could you explain why, please? Well, I died, yeah.
Yes. But I think in a way, Google is convenient because you don't have to store a big fat book somewhere. And if you are looking for a business these days, you just type in the business name, you get the number, you can call them.
Yes, but I'm looking at the romance.
But for people, yeah. But finding people is a lot harder. You can't just Google a person's name and hope to find a telephone number. Sure. So I also go with the phone books.
So you get the points again, do you?
No, Mayer gets a point.
Oh, Ray, I got a point. Hooray.
Yeah, your generation, phone books. So Mayer wins that question. Okay, question number 3. Whose thumbs are stronger, from texting or from pressing rewind on a cassette?
I'm going to lose this one. For the simple reason that when I pressed rewind, I didn't use my thumb.
Index finger.
Exactly. And if I had to rewind a tape because it's got, do you remember you pull the tape, the cassette out of the machine and it's sort of like all scrunchy and gooey. And then you have to take a pencil and then you've got to find, or your finger and you've got to start rewinding and stuff like that. This puppy kids are, what's a cassette? Yeah.
Google it.
Google image it and you figure it out. I never used my thumbs to rewind anything. So sorry, can't help you on that one.
So do you think your thumbs get stronger when you text?
So looks a bit crooked. Maybe they become more crooked because you're at an angle. You know, you're sort of.
Maybe.
But we're actually texting, you know, not texting, but typing is so last century. Do keep up.
I'm sorry, voice notes.
Because exactly, why actually write when you can, you know, blurb and blab your way through and give us another 20, 30 years and we won't actually have to text because everything will be done in emojis. We'll go back to the ancient Egyptians and the hieroglyphics. Yeah, and we'll just, you know, it'll be my generation who will look at this and say, we'll need an emoji decoder because we have no idea what you guys are talking about because we just don't understand it anymore. But, you know, and all these, you know, these abbreviations that exist now because you're too late. And again, the thumbs will weaken because you condense words into a handful of letters and that everybody knows except us knows what this means. You know, so forget learning English. You've got to learn emoji and learning abbreviation talk of the Gen Zs, you know. So the thumbs were exercised, but they're falling into a state of disrepair now because nobody wants to use the thumb.
They just press the thumb to play the or to record the.
Yeah, and then some bright spark will just say, you know, it's like Alexa. Alexa, please do this, and then Alexa does something. So you can give your name, your phone a name, you know,
yes. Michael.
Yes, Frank. Please do this. No problem, Frank, and it'll be done. Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe.
That's also a part of the discussion I listened yesterday morning. So the question they asked was, how long should a voice note be on WhatsApp?
Oh my God.
So yes. So there was one lady who said she receives a voice note from her son that is an hour long, but he lives in a different country. And she likes to hear about her grandkids and what they are up to, how they are doing, without having to and ah while being on a phone call. So she likes to listen to that when he sends it to her. And then there's another guy. I don't like voice notes. I hardly ever send them. But there's another guy who said the same thing. He doesn't like voice notes. So he would record himself, put it into ChatGPT and say, summarize this, and then send the actual message to the person. Because he doesn't want to send the voice note.
How
and that is if he doesn't have time to type the message.
That opens that opens so many cans of worms. I don't have time to message you. I don't like my so I'm going to go to ChatGPT, record it, and then send the recording. I mean, sorry.
Send the transcript.
I have issues with that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it takes longer than to just send the message.
Yeah. Oh my goodness me. All right. No.
Yes.
you said you don't like voice notes, but because I was actually thinking it several times, because there's no shortage of messages between you and I. I was thinking, you know, why don't we actually send each other voice notes? Because it might actually be quicker. Because we spend, but some because we both use web, you know,
on web-based. You can still record through the web.
Yeah.
But I think one of the main reasons I don't like them is because I might be busy. Like now, we are talking to each other. Mm. Then I receive a voice note and I can't listen to it. So I open the message, I see the message, but it's a voice note. So then I think I will only listen to it later. Okay. Mm. And then it hangs there and then I forget about it because I get busy with life and everything else in between. And then tomorrow I see, oh, I never replied to this voice message. Then I have to listen to the message first. Before I can respond. But then I type a message.
Okay. Yeah.
My friend loves to do this, I send her a message. Hi, how are you? She sends a voice note back. If I have time, I listen to the voice note and then I will respond using a message. And then she sends another voice message. And then I would say, okay, sorry, I can't listen to your voice note. I can't listen to the voice note now. But I will reply as soon as I have some, if I have a moment. And then she would send another voice message. I just told you I can't listen to it, but you keep sending voice messages.
I think there's a phenomenon in there is that people don't actually listen to each other anymore. Mm.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, I get told this at least 20 million times a day. You never listen to me. Well, I do. It's selective listening. But we're so intent on broadcasting that we actually need to sit down and, because somebody might have a message that we should listen to, you know, not the voice, but somebody yes. might have something to impart, which we need to listen to,
yes.
pay attention to.
Yes.
Okay. So yeah, thumbs are out. Yeah. But they do get delivered. Yeah.
Okay. So Fruit Loop wins that one. Okay. Let me just add it there. Okay. So the next question is, what's more terrifying, losing your phone or losing your house keys in the 80s? It's easy.
I have never lost my phone, but I did lose my house keys. No, I didn't lose my house keys. I lost my car keys. That's a story in itself.
Yes.
But in this day and age, I mean, you're going to win this again because phones are no longer, I mean, that we still call them phones, I think, is a bit of a joke because they do so much more.
Yes.
And some wise people actually figured out that, you know, the average smartphone is now more powerful than Apollo 11 that took Neil Armstrong and his friends up to the moon back in 1969.
Yes.
A bit before your time, I think. sorry, couldn't resist. But I know from experience that in the 90s, my then girlfriend and I wanted to go out in the evening for an ice cream. And it turned out to be the most expensive ice cream known to us because we locked ourselves out of the apartment.
Oh, dear.
So we went and got our ice cream and we got back and said, oh, shit, key inside. And then we called the emergency locksmith, and he came and he did it deceptively simple. He just took a credit card or something and swiped through the door and unlocked the door, you know. And it cost us 120. So the equivalent. So this was before euros. The equivalent of 125 euros, which was a lot of money in those
nights. Yes.
Yeah. So the ice cream might have cost 50 cents, but it actually cost 125 euros 50 because of the damn lock. Yeah.
Yeah.
Losing the car keys, that was a totally different ballgame. I was actually visiting friends in Brussels, and I parked my car outside the Brussels Hilton, and I went around, did a few things, and then I came back, and I said, oh, shit, lost my keys. And I went to the concierge in the Brussels Hilton. I said, look, I have a problem. Car out there, keys disappeared. Can you call some service, please, that can help me open the car? And I lost the house keys of my friend that I was staying at as well. That added to the problem as well. And he said, oh, no problem, we can do it for you. The concierge trusted me that I was telling the truth about my own car, which was a little Citroen AX, sort of little roller skate on wheels. He said, which car is it? Well, it actually is that Rolls Royce over there. Yeah. And he broke open the car for me, and I fished out the manual to get the number for the replacement key, and then I had to get a new replacement key ordered from Citroën, and long story and so on and so forth. Yeah. But that was traumatic.
Yes.
But is it as traumatic as losing your phone with just about your entire life stored in it? No, you win. Yeah.
Okay. I agree, because these, like you say, the phones these days are capable of doing so many things. And there's even some cards that went digital and everything is stored on your phone.
Yeah,
well, so losing your phone can be...
This is where I actually draw the line, because in Europe, you can now start getting some countries allow you to have your ID card on your phone.
Mm.
And that's where I say, perhaps
not
the best idea. Yeah.
Yes.
So on.
Okay. Question number 5. If you swapped phones for a week, who would survive longer or start crying first? If we had to swap phones, who would survive longer? Who would start crying first?
I would probably start crying first because, I mean, you lead a totally different life, given the yes. fact that we're also a generation apart. I probably couldn't. And probably 99% of all your messages are in Afrikaans, so I couldn't understand them. And I just wouldn't be able to cope with your day-to-day routines and issues that you have to deal with, you know that is in your daily domestic life, because I wouldn't know how, yeah? It would be fun. You know, we talked about swapping houses for a week, didn't we?
Yes.
You know, you come up here and I go down there for a week. and I spend a week with your husband and son, and you spend a week with my wife and my mother. And what, but on your phone, apart from which, it's not that good an idea because there is just too much information, isn't there? That the other person doesn't really, I think the air of mystique between us that sort of just makes it, makes it nicer. Yeah. I don't need to
Yes.
know all the details about you because I have a certain image and I'm quite happy with that image. And if I get to see all gory, gory, gutty details, oh God, is that real? Am I really working with her? And you could say the same. God, is this guy for serious? I mean, for God's sake, I mean, it's like the handbag, isn't it? A woman's handbag. Men
Yes.
have it's a taboo zone. Yeah,
Yes.
you do not go to. You do not open a woman's handbag because you risk execution. Yeah,
Yes.
instant execution. I mean, I don't know what's on my wife's phone. She doesn't know what's on my wife. So it's
No.
what's on that side. There's a certain, even, if you're living together, there is a certain private space. So
Yes.
I wouldn't survive on your phone for a week.
Okay, that's interesting. I think I would survive.
Tell me.
I wouldn't do much. I maybe answer it when it rings. Maybe just respond to the important messages, and the rest is none of my business. Maybe take a couple of fun pictures. I think, in a sense, you handle it the same as you handle your wife's phone.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Arm's length, yeah.
Probably. I won't dig and anything.
No,
Same as my
no.
husband's phone. So I just sometimes I use it to make a phone call if I don't have airtime. Sometimes he will ask me to search for something or help him with something. And that's it. If it rings and it's somebody important, I will answer. I don't respond to his messages. That's his business.
I think I just walked into that. There's a knife in there. There was a knife blade, and I went straight for it.
Okay, so you wouldn't survive.
No.
Would you cry?
I wouldn't cry.
Okay.
I'd be more puzzled, I think. Really? Yeah, I would be puzzled and
What would
confused.
you do? What would you do? Would you read the messages? Would you check the apps that I have? What would you do?
Well, I wouldn't read, okay, being perfectly honest and serious here, no, I would respect the privacy of your phone, and of your messages because that, is none of my business. But I would confess I'd be curious about the one or the other app that you might use because, what's available in South Africa is probably not available here, or maybe that you have a better way of doing something. Than I do with the different app, so more out of curiosity of self-improvement maybe, but not whether what shopping apps do you have and how many points do you collect on the shopping app and what discounts and stuff like that. Which I used to have these supermarket apps, but then they made me so aggressive that I actually deleted them again,
Yes.
because I just didn't like the pressure they were applying on me. But as for your I mean, and we had this by accident last week, but we're trying to hook up our phones on one single number, and inadvertently I got to see your WhatsApps on your phone. I thought, and that was really, really embarrassing because I didn't want to, because I want us to share a number, but keep it
Yes.
private. And so if I, keep your stuff for you and my stuff for me, but people
Yes.
can phone or WhatsApp a common shared number, and you can
Yes.
answer or I can answer, but somehow setting that up has been a bit of a struggle. and by
But my message is Afrikaans anyways, most of them.
I didn't even,
so
I didn't
even get, though if you saw them, you couldn't read them.
Well, I didn't see anything. But it was acutely embarrassing. I felt really uncomfortable because I thought, come on, Frank.
I've never seen somebody log out of something that fast.
What did you expect? Let's see what your husband has to say. Yeah?
What does his profile picture look like? Oh, and who's this? Why did she send you a message? What is it saying here?
No. Speak when spoken to. So no, I won't cry. I will be respectful. I won't cry, but I will be probably confused, which is what I am.
Okay, so which generation do you think wins this question? Mine or yours?
Well, definitely you.
Okay. Okay, so round one is done. Fruit Loop has 4 points. Mayer has 1 point.
Yay, I got a point. All right, I'm happy. Yeah.
So technical.
You're ahead.
Fruit Loop's generation wins.
Which I think is a fair assessment.
Round one.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Round two is music madness.
Oh my God. Here we go.
Okay. So first question in round two is who had the better music when lyrics made sense and when beats took over? My generation, your generation.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm going to answer this question. In a very specific way. I fail to see how Taylor Swift can be so popular.
I second that. I'm not even going to fight it because I already know my answer.
Secondly,
and I'm going to give it to your generation.
Secondly, there's a couple on YouTube, YouTube Shorts. They are possibly your generation, even probably a couple of years younger, but they do it quite well. They sing songs of my generation.
Okay.
The songs of the 80s and the 90s and possibly 70s. So I think that's telling. Secondly, it's with every generation. They grow up with their music and don't really understand the music of their previous generation. So, you know, because it's just so weird. Where I do draw the line is I actually focus on the melody more than on the lyrics.
Yes.
Because 9 times out of 10, the screeching that is excusable as a singing is totally inaudible and understandable and cannot be comprehended.
Yes.
So I usually discount the lyrics and say, okay, nice, so let's just focus on the melody and the harmony and the musical components. And secondly, and this is something very European, we listen to a lot of songs from different countries because they get airplay here. Eurovision, of course, I introduced you to Eurovision earlier this year. And there's a lot of stuff there in foreign languages, so you don't actually understand.
Yes.
But you can pick up the beauty of music even if you don't understand the lyrics. You can sort of sense if the lyrics and the melody harmonize. Yeah.
Yes.
I think I win this round. Well, this
yes, you do. You do. Okay, but I think it's mostly because I like 80s music. I like 70s music. Mm-hmm. I like Queen and ABBA and, well, there's a lot of other old ones I won't mention now. But to listen to that kind of music, it tells a story. Mm-hmm. Where music these days are just words thrown together and hopefully it makes sense. Let's add music and
forget about it makes sense. Hopefully it makes money because that's what it is.
Makes money. Doesn't matter who's screeching and who's coughing and who's what. Yeah. They just go for it.
Yeah, but again, you know, and you sent me when you were at your grandmother's place a couple of months ago, you sent me a recording, and then the artist, I've forgotten his name now, of somebody who is very popular in South Africa.
Yes.
And I've listened to his stuff, and I said, it's really good.
Yes.
It's really good. And it's timeless. Yeah. You know? I mean, he's a relatively young person, but he's got a great voice. He's got, he covers a few songs, but he also his own stuff, and he sings in Afrikaans. So I don't understand very much of it. But I just like listening to it because it makes me feel good. End of
discussion. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. No, there's a few exceptions, but like the covers he does, it's Purple Rain is one of them. Sound of Silence is the other one.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, and the way he does it. The same with that opera song. I can't remember the name now, but that's also a cover, also from a long time ago.
There was a radio station in Germany. They every year they do the 1,000 most popular songs. It's like a week long thing, and for 1 week, so the public votes which songs they like, and it's sort of all. Get into a pot, and then on one Monday morning at midnight, they start with song number 1,000. And then a week later, it finishes with the most popular song. And for years, I mean, we're going back 10 years, the most popular song without fail has been Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The people that listen to this radio station, and it's a regional station, but through internet and so on, you can listen to it around the world. But it has remained the most popular song for donkeys.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't particularly like it, but there you go.
It does have some history of how they recorded it and everything. I think maybe that's why people like it, because it actually has a story, like where it started or something. I don't know. Right. Anyways.
Yeah. And
I think also vote for it.
Freddie Mercury can do no wrong. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. So the next question says, the Mayer's era had mixtapes, Fruit Loops too, in a sense. Mm-hmm. Fruit Loop has playlists, but who is the true romantic DJ?
The true romantic
DJ.
DJ. It's a past era. But, and I've got playlists on Spotify. And it's convenient.
Yes, I agree.
But the love and care of putting together your own mixtape.
Yes.
Is... And the anticipation and the frustration and all the emotions that go with it.
Yes.
And then you get the recording and it's relatively good because no one's interrupted and they've got your, you know, and you're waiting for the song to be played so that you can tape it. That's far, far more romantic and far more fun.
Yeah. I agree.
even though we don't do it anymore because A, the technology doesn't exist, and B,
it's, no.
it's been replayed, and it makes it for a much more soul. I mean, yes, I can lie on the couch on a Saturday afternoon and select my playlist on Spotify, et cetera, and it's quick and it does its job, but it's just not the same. It's just not the same.
It's the same as making a mix CD. I don't know if you ever made mix CDs to give to someone.
I was actually thinking about that because, and that actually hasn't died because, as you know, I've got a new car, and it doesn't actually have a MP3 facility. It's that old.
Okay.
It doesn't have an MP3, or I can't plug in my phone to listen to it. Yeah, so I could do that in my previous car, but I can't do it in the more expensive, higher quality brand that I drive now.
Yes.
Which is weird, but okay. So I'm playing CDs, but I know that CDs sort of get destroyed in car CD players after a while. So I'm actually thinking of creating a mixed CD, and then sort of keeping that and burning. So if it gets destroyed, burning it. So the romance lives on, but adapted to something flatter. But mixtapes, there's just something about that era. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Mixed I tapes. Agree.
Yeah.
Mayor wins again.
Sorry.
And that's okay. I agree with you. I'm not fighting it. Okay. The next question, whose concerts were wilder, screaming teens in the 70s or glittery TikTokers today? Well, Wilder brings Woodstock to mind. I never experienced it. I have an idea what it's about, but I think that's Wilder.
I would have loved to have gone to Woodstock. And I suppose deep down me, there is a hippie at heart. And if you compare, I mean, when the Beatles went on tour, I mean, the hysterics.
Yes.
The hysterics of the generation of the young kids, and they weren't actually that young.
Yes.
It was just totally different. It seemed much more genuine. And I suppose we have to go back to Taylor Swift. Yes, so I just cannot comprehend and understand her popularity. And you are a Swiftie, well, I'm definitely not a Swiftie. Yeah.
I think that comes with her first. With the first music, because she was like a country girl, singing country songs, writing her own songs, love songs. And then she changed with the generations. She changed her music. And I think because what she has now and what she did when she first started is completely different.
And I think at the heart of it is, I mean, she has become an economic indicator, gross national products can go up and down if there is a Taylor Swift concert in town. Yeah.
Yes.
She is an economic force. And I think our generation wins because you liked the music.
Yes. I agree. But even some videos and some documentaries that I saw, like, there was one concert, I don't know what they called it, but it was actually, I think it was in London. I don't know. But with Elton John and Queen and I don't know what.
Yeah, it was the Band-Aid or something like that. Yeah, where they were getting money together for Ethiopia because of the hunger.
Yes, it's that one. Yes. Yep. So I saw a documentary or something about that. The people there and the way they just love the music.
Yeah.
It was wild.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was good. Yeah.
And nowadays it's all about, how many records can I sell? I mean, there was a commercial aspect with the Beatles as well. I mean, they're not going to play for charity. They have to make a living and they just have to play good music. But it was much more authentic than music has become a brand. Yeah, you have the Taylor Swift brand. You have, and I mean, I remember I went to an Elton John concert many years ago, and it was a great evening. Yeah,
yes.
And I went with somebody who was significantly younger than and I was sort of up and dancing, and she looked at me and said, "How are you dancing?" It's like, you're totally weird.
yes.
okay. So sorry, but again, it's because of the generational thing. I just don't get today's music so much because it's so weird. Yeah,
but I agree. Right. I agree. From what I've seen, I've never been to one of these concerts, but I think they were better.
Yeah.
Okay, next question: if you had to switch music for a week, who would secretly enjoy it more? We've shared some playlists with each other. We shared some music with each other, and I think we both enjoy the different kinds of music.
Well, I mean that is it. I mean, music is a very subjective thing, and in my case, it depends on what mood it is. So I can really fall into some really heavy stuff, liturgical chants from the Russian
Yes.
Orthodox Church. I mean, that's heavy going, but
Yes.
I can really soak myself into that if I have the right mindset and the right frame of mind. I'm in that mood. And I've shared some stuff with you. It's sort of like high tech and techno stuff, and which as long as there is a melody
Yes.
and some sort of harmony, then I think that's a difficult question to answer.
Think so too. And like I listened to Eurovision the beginning of the year, and there's last year's winner I didn't even know existed. But there's one of his songs that I like to listen to. And whenever I listen to it, my husband looks at me like, "Are you okay?" Aiden just shakes his head because I turn up the volume so that you can hear his voice. Then I would do the same with AC/DC, or I would do the same with Queen. So
Exactly.
I think it's the melody, the music, the rhythm. I think we enjoy the same kind of.
We do, but and I think the clue in the question lies in what you said about Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yes.
If there's actually a story in the song and behind and the making of it and so on, if it
Yes.
actually makes sense, then even something very, very contemporary, where I would sort of think, well, that sounds like, blah.
Cool.
If someone explained it to me in great detail, then I would say, okay, well, okay, now I understand it. I may still not like it, but at least I understand it. And that goes back to, respecting different generations and stuff like that.
Yes.
So, difficult one. I think we get a point each for that one.
I think so too. Let's make a point for each. But I think we would be just fine. We would
Oh
enjoy
yeah, I mean
it.
yes. I'm not. You've seen Pretty Woman, haven't you? Where Richard Gere
Yes.
takes her to the opera in San Francisco in his private jet.
Yes.
And I often catch myself, and I say this with respect. And I often catch myself doing things or going somewhere or driving somewhere, and I sort of ask myself, I wonder what you would think to this scenery or to this music. I sort of catch myself doing, asking myself this question,
Yes.
how would you react to whatever it is I'm currently doing?
Yes.
There you go.
Okay, the last question. Which song from your time should be the official anthem of this war? I'm not going to choose one from my time. So yours win.
I think the first song that comes to mind, is Queen's "We Are the Champions."
Wow, okay.
I
Okay.
mean, in the whole spectrum of music, you could go to something classical. But if we're looking at an anthem, so anthems have specific, the structures, they're very short, they're very, very emotional, very bombastic, they're very
Yes.
inspiring. And I think it doesn't, and I think the closest you would get to that would be Queen's "We Are the Champions," especially if this is a war. It's a very friendly war.
Friendly war.
But I think we should go for "We Are the Champions."
Okay, my choice would be Thunderstruck by AC/DC.
Which I have to admit, I have to listen to, because it doesn't, I mean, AC/DC are not really on my radar.
Yes.
One of them died a couple of days ago, well, weeks ago, didn't he?
I think it was a few weeks ago,
Yeah.
2 weeks or 3 weeks ago, maybe.
But there wasn't really much of an echo there. And I have to admit, I don't actually know that. I probably recognize it when I hear it, but
Yes.
it doesn't ring a bell with me at the moment. So that's going to be my homework after this meeting, is listen to Thunderstruck. Yeah.
Okay.
Didn't you? You might have actually sent me the link, didn't you? Didn't you?
No, no. Not for Thunderstruck.
Scroll past the millions of messages. Yeah.
No, I didn't send you for Thunderstruck.
Okay.
I know I sent Alicia Keys and Katy Perry.
Yes, you sent me a lot.
Yes.
But I am on top. Katy Perry is dating Justin Trudeau, so he's out of politics. He's now hooked up with Katy Perry. There's a bit of trivial. I'm actually in the loop. I know what's going on. It's really
wow. Important. I didn't know that.
Do I get a bonus point?
Probably. Okay, so we still have three rounds to go, and we are running out of time a little bit.
Okay. Well,
I'm going to let you choose one. Okay. So round three is food fights. Round four is fashion and coolness. And round five is life lessons and sass.
Oh. Well, food, I think. And then we'll do fashion if we get time for fashion. And I'll keep my answers short. Okay, let's do food first, because I might have a chance of winning this. I'm not going to win the fashion one. No way.
Okay, let's do food. Whose snacks were better? The ones full of sugar and mystery chemicals, or the ones that brag about being gluten-free?
Oh. It's got to be the first one.
Yes, me too.
Because snacking is sinning. It's like smoking. Everybody knows that it's not good for you, but you do it anyway.
Yes.
I don't want to be reminded of doing something wrong, which is, I think, a hallmark of this young generation. You know, you can't actually get up out of bed anymore, because you may actually be making a mistake and you become fearful. So
okay.
I'm going to go for the for the sugary chemical ones, because yes. In France, especially in this health food environment, there's always manger bouger, so eat and move, is a sort of with unhealthy foods, you know, eat and move. So you and there's also a French saying, you know, everything is allowed with moderation. So
yes,
so and at the bottom of it all is enjoy.
Yes.
Enjoy what you're doing. Don't have any regrets, but don't overdo it either. So, sorry.
Yes.
I don't want to be told I need to have gluten-free, this, that, and the other. And all these health
I agree.
All these health food shops telling me, you know, you have to do this. Yeah. And then all these yes. power foods and the quinoas and God knows what and the goji berries and so on. I'm just, sorry. I'm old-fashioned.
I agree with you.
I'm old-fashioned on that front.
You probably win the next one as well. So it says, the mayor grew up on homemade meals. Fruit Loop lives on Uber Eats. Who wins, flavor or convenience?
Oh, I'm sorry, flavor. Flavor.
I agree.
No,
and I don't live on Uber Eats, by the way.
I was thinking, hang on a minute, this is new. No, flavor. Sorry. Cooking is not a complicated thing.
Yes.
Yeah, and fresh ingredients are better and cheaper. Often.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
No contest. Okay.
Yes. I agree. So Mayer wins again. Okay. The next question. What is the most ridiculous modern food trend you've ever touched? Is it avocado toast, charcoal ice cream? Something ridiculously modern.
I don't know if you heard about it in South Africa, but there was something called the Dubai chocolate.
Yes, yes. Green on the inside, chocolatey on the outside. Yeah.
It's chocolate with pistachios. I mean, where's the problem?
Very expensive. Crazy expensive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you tried it?
No,
Is it
because
good?
I've never ever tried it because it's usually gone. It's usually gone before I got there. And secondly, I refuse to pay an exorbitant price for a bar of chocolate with a bit of pistachio thrown in.
Very expensive.
I'm sorry. It's
Yes.
mark. It's not food. It's marketing.
Yes.
And that has to st marketing and food has to stay out. So, most ridiculous. Dubai chocolate. Sorry, avocado on toast. Avocados are quite
That's not.
fatty. Very popular.
Yes.
Not very environmentally friendly either, if you want to throw that one into it, because
Okay.
avocados take a lot, they need a lot of watering, and water is a bit scarce.
Yes.
Okay, so have I got the answer
What
right?
about charcoal ice cream?
Never heard of it.
Oh, wow. I tried it. Wasn't too bad.
Never heard of it.
It's black ice cream. Or grayish, dark gray ice cream,
Okay.
charcoal.
What's the charcoal made?
So charcoal is like an antioxidant or like a detox, and they made it into an ice cream.
Okay.
But you
Do you
can
have
only get it at specific places. They don't sell it in the supermarket. It would be like a bakery that sells homemade ice cream, something.
Okay. All right. Does it make your tongue black?
No, it doesn't.
Oh, okay. No, I've never heard of it. Sorry. So
Oh.
I know that Justin Trudeau and Katy Perry are dating, but I know nothing about charcoal. Oh my God,
Okay.
I'm a waste of space.
So who wins this round, me or you? You like to try ridiculous things, new things.
Within reason, within
Okay.
reason. There's a thing called micro cuisine or something like that, or molecular cuisine. Yeah, there's a restaurant in the UK run by some weirdo, Heston Blumenthal, and he goes into experimental cooking, and it's like, you get this construction of something which is no longer food. It's like 25 proteins and 300 carbs and so on and stuff like it's
Yes.
and I find that, and then he charges an exorbitant amount of money for the experience. And I say, look, just give me a plate of good, honest, homemade food and cut
Yes.
the crap. So I'm going to go for the avocado toast. So I think I win this.
Okay. Okay. You win this round.
I'm open for ideas. Yeah,
Okay.
within reason. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. The next question. Whose childhood lunchbox would make Gordon Ramsay cry first? I think it's mine. His lunchbox.
So
Shame.
Gordon Ramsay crying, that in itself is already quite a picture, because he
Yes.
probably effing and blinding before he starts crying, because he's
Beep,
lang
beep, beep is
his language is very colorful, at the best of times.
this?
So my lunchbox consisted of my mother's homemade sandwiches, and then you can compare this. My lunchbox consisted of my mother's homemade sandwiches, was rye bread, some butter, and then a slice of salami or some cheese or something like that, and that was it.
That was fancy
And that was
compared to mine.
and in the summer at 30 plus degrees, the whole thing was just sort of like one gooey mess,
Ugh. Yeah.
there was no insulation.
Mm.
And that was my lunchbox, and then maybe an apple. And we'll leave the apple story to one side for a moment. And what about your lunchbox?
White bread, butter, strawberry jam, or apricot jam, sometimes cheese, or cheese spread. Now it's too expensive. We can't afford cheese spread, but in that days we had cheese spread. And that's it. No apple, no banana, nothing.
And you wanted to swap sandwiches with your schoolmates, and they all had the same as well, so you couldn't actually trade, could you?
don't actually remember what my friends ate. I don't know.
Okay. I think we have to split this. We have to
Never
split this
paid
one.
attention. Split it.
We split it because uninspiring.
And if I think about my son's lunchbox, oh, we also had peanut butter and so syrup. Sometimes just peanut butter. But if I think about my son's lunchbox, it's the same. But at least I add some snackies in his box as well. We didn't have the snackies.
Well, we had a tuck shop for that. So sometimes I would, you know, my
we also had a tuck shop, but we didn't get pocket money. Maybe every second Friday we'd get some money. And then like this morning, my son asked me, I want pocket money, or I want, we call it Snoopy geld, like tuck shop money.
Okay.
So I said, well, you should have told me that yesterday, because now we are at school. I already parked at school. Now I want money. I don't have money. So I felt bad about that, but I'll take him to a shop after school.
Okay. Yeah. I remember, this is a confession from the mayor, on the way home, there was a little sort of like a corner shop or something, and I went in and I stole an ice cream from the shop. And I felt really guilty. It was in the middle of winter, and I stole this 20-cent ice cream bar, and I felt really guilty. And I asked my mother, I said, you know, does one get sick from eating ice cream in winter? That was the closest to the confession I got. Yeah. And she said, of course not. And I felt really good after that. I said, okay, so.
No. Shame. No, my son eats ice cream anytime. Exactly. Raining, sunning, sunny, cool, doesn't matter. Winter, summer.
Yeah. But to clear my record, that was the only time I stole something. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Then, if each generation had to cook for the other, who would survive dinner? I think we'll both be okay.
Well, every child will say yours might be the exception, because you have to sometimes, I think, force feed from what you tell me. But every generation basically says, my mother was the best cook ever.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think every child. I think every generation will survive. You just have to market and sell what you cook differently. Yeah.
Yes.
And there was also the discipline. You ate what was put on the table. End of discussion. Yeah. And
yes.
Kids maybe have too much choice now. I mean, I remember in one situation, a 6-year-old, early in the morning, still half asleep. Not wanting to get up because she doesn't want to go to school. And her mother offers her, you know, what cereal would you like for breakfast? You can have A, B, C, D, or E. And I was thinking, why? Just give her something and be done with. Yeah. You know, the kid can't make a choice at the best of times. Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, so no, we're both okay on that front.
Yes, I think so. Okay. So I'm going to wrap this up. So I'll go back to our scores. So the first round, the tech battles, Fruit Loops generation wins.
That goes without saying, yeah.
Yes. So the second round, music, Mayor's generation wins.
With the caveat that music is a very subjective
yes.
topic.
And food, the last one, Mayor also wins.
I feel sad. We won't have
no to why
win. Well, because I you know, we should actually, you know, fair is fair, we should actually come a draw. So I, you know, fashion, give we've got a couple of minutes, give me one fashion question
and
one.
Fashion, who had the most questionable fashion, neon jumpsuits or ripped jeans that cost a fortune? I don't wear ripped jeans. I hate it.
Annika
But the
Rice.
neon
Annika,
jumpsuit.
Annika Rice had the most famous bottom on British television when I lived there, because she did some sort of show, some sort of exciting Find the Treasure show, and she wore a neon jumpsuit. But you always saw her bottom, because the camera was always focused on not her bottom, but on her running to something.
Bottom is close enough.
We draw, because I don't actually understand ripped jeans. I'm thinking, I just, but you know, you
Me
would
neither.
onesies. You will never see me in a onesie. Yeah, dead or
Me
alive.
neither.
Yeah. Okay. So
I
we
would
would
be able, I want to be able to move.
exactly. So we draw even on that. So okay, we win.
I
Yeah.
think so.
There you
Yeah.
go. We've come even. No. Right question.
Yes.
Fruit Loop. Thank you very much. It was brilliant.
It's a pleasure. That was a lot of fun.
That was. Yeah.
I was kind of hoping my generation had something good in it. Now I'm starting to second guess it.
Well, no, I think your generation does. We just don't understand it. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And after all, you are the future. So, you know, we're just has-beens, you know, sell-by dates long expired. Yeah.
Well, there's some things that are endless and timeless.
Yes. I can't think of what it is, but I'm sure you're right. Yeah.
Music, movies.
Yes. Well, I do remember old films. You know, something from the 90s
There's
is
a lot here.
old. Yeah. I don't want to go down that path. Do remember that conversation as well. Okay.
Old.
Yeah, like you said, right at the beginning, I'm going to speak with an old man. This is at the beginning of Back in Marsh. I'm going to speak with an old man.
Yes.
Yeah,
Yes, an old man. Send me a
exactly.
message.
And
Yeah,
we're still speaking 7 months
of
later.
course.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, so it works. Two intergenerations can work with each other and have fun together.
Yes.
Fruit Loop, brilliant. Thank you very, very much.
It's my pleasure. I'm glad you enjoyed it. See, I told you there would be no blood and guts.
Oh, you don't know what mess I've got here around me. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
I apologize.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to cause any harm.
We apologize for any inconvenience caused in the making of this podcast.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And if you disagree with us, send us a message.
Exactly. We may not reply.
Send an email.
Yes.
Don't make a phone call. Don't send a voice note.
Exactly. Until next week.
Until
Have a
next week,
week.
take
Take
care.
care. Bye.
Bye.